today was West Kentucky Day. Tomorrow be Ball State. Which is good. Very, you know, we have a tough non-conference schedule, you know, starting off with Ball State. So. Anxious to, of course, can't wait to play. You like to open up. In an ideal world, you want to open up the season at home. We get that. Play in front of a home crowd, all of that. A little banged up like most people are this time of the year. We'll see when they're healthy. We'll start evaluating them then and see if that's a better option than what we have right then. Doesn't change an awful lot. You know, there's a new opponent up each week, and you have to lock into who you're playing that week. Today we were in the second week. From here on, it will be in the first week. You just start looking at personnel from Ball State and go from there.
Nine days till kickoff. Lovie Smith, after yesterday's practice, saying yesterday was about Western Kentucky, which is week two, and today would be about Ball State. They've about wrapped up practice over there. And I guess they have started prepping for Ball State, so we will start doing that as well and get you some Ball State info and all that stuff in the weeks, in the days to come. But right now, all I know is they're from Muncie, and they're the Cardinals.
David Letterman went there.
They got a pretty good running back, too.
They do.
Got to be honest, haven't looked into Ball State yet. Just haven't.
We'll have you covered, though, come game day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Welcome in, everybody. It's Sports Talk. Scott Beatty and Tim Dittman with you until 6 o'clock. Pack show, as always. Still to come this hour, we will talk with Chris Thomas, head coach of Illinois Volleyball. They get it going tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. out in Montana. First of three matches for them over the weekend. Dave Lone on the call, year number 30 for him behind the mic with the Illini Volleyball program. We continue our tour of area high schools and preps football, which gets going tomorrow night. Today, it's Muhammad Seymour's turn. Keith Pogue, a very successful head coach for them, will be our guest. We've got some other odds and ends to get to as well. Tim, are you excited for football?
Oh, absolutely. I'm ready to get things going again. As crazy as it sounds, I'm ready to be busy again on Saturdays. You know, I do mostly news during the week, but one of my old bosses used to tell me, sports is not news, it's fun. And that's what I view a football Saturday as, just a lot of fun, regardless of how the team is doing. Certainly, we all want to do well. But the fact that here at DWS, we kind of get to be front and center with the football broadcast, and you and I get to do the post-game show, it's fun. I'm ready for it.
I've been trying to put my finger on what has this, more or less, a month of training camp been. What's the tone been this year? And I think the one word that sticks out is youth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's also a sense of patience. And because people are not and reservation, and that's because people are not sure what to believe about this team right now. We just don't know what is out there. I think there's an expectation that it's not going to be a very successful team this year in terms of wins and losses.
Mm-hmm.
But you are going to be watching a lot of the freshmen and underclassmen to see what the future might bring, and hey, maybe do we have something here that's a little bit better than we thought. And August brings a lot of optimism for any football team. I think the offense could be something that's pretty decent. It's just a big question mark about the defense right now.
Well, our colleague Robert Rosenthal, who writes for Illini Board, had a great analogy a couple weeks ago. He called it an expansion team. watching the team out at practice, because they're young, they're really banged up, and it's year two of a new coaching staff and a new system, so you really don't know what to expect. I'm looking at something in the range of 3 to 5 wins. I think if Illinois can maybe sneak a win or two in there against a team that they're not supposed to beat, maybe a kick of the ball goes their way or a deflection goes their way, what have you, and they somehow get 2-6 wins, Illinois fans should view that, I think, as a major accomplishment.
Oh, there'd be plenty of joy in Mudville.
I think either way, though, the offseason this year as opposed to previous years, there's more of a sense of optimism. I know me personally, in previous regimes, it's kind of been, all right, football season's coming up again. This year, it's kind of like, okay, Lovie, year two, may only get 3 or 4 wins this year, but things are slowly but surely progressing.
I think if this is a 3 or 4 win team this year, you still feel good.
Absolutely.
But ask me that in November. you know, because I may be mopey about that.
Right.
Point.
Well, and now the fans might not feel good. I mean, because, you know, Illinois has a very rabid fan base. Like many other fan bases out there, they want success as soon as possible. And we get that. You and I get that. But it's a matter of you have to work with the pieces that you have. And I really think year three is the year that I expect this team to take a significant jump, not year two under Lovie Smith.
Yeah. So this year there's plenty of to look for in terms of progress and improvement and what you could have in the years to come with individual players. Kind of feels like, I know it's apples and oranges, kind of feels like what were the Cubs 3, 4, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
You start to go, okay, that piece is going to be good. That piece is going to be really sick. You know, when they added Rizzo and then they started adding this and this and they start, and then all of a sudden it clicked and came together. But some felt in 2015 that they were a little ahead of schedule. Maybe the Illini end up being a little bit ahead of schedule this year. It's just harder to see that because this isn't baseball. This is football where guys have to grow. They have to develop in skill and knowledge of the system and all that. But I think it could be something surprising this year.
I think that's a glass half full mentality.
Yeah, it probably is. It probably is a half full mentality, but that's what you do in August. That's what you do.
Because the games aren't being played. There's nothing else to talk about, right?
Now, if they lose the first three, then, you know, maybe
we got major problems, right?
There, well, this is terrible, blah, blah, blah. If you want to join us, I'm just curious where you're looking at this, half full, half empty, realistic in your view. You can join us at 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Those are main ways to get in touch with us. We look at the headlines for today. Baseball continuing the NL Central race with the Cubs on top of that. They're looking for a sweep of Cincinnati. Jake Arrieta is on the hill tonight, and he has allowed two or fewer earned runs in his last seven starts, having a very good second half. He's 13-8 overall. Cardinals looking to take the series from San Diego tonight at Busch Stadium. Carlos Martinez is on the hill. He's won three straight. No Matt Carpenter in the lineup tonight for the second straight day. White Sox are taking on the Twins. Illinois soccer in action tonight. They are against Washington 1-1 on the year. Then they're going to Illinois State on Sunday. Tim, have you taken any soccer yet?
I usually try to get to one or two games a year. I have not gone this year, but it's a sport where if you're not a diehard fan of it, I think it may be tough for fans to get into, but it's really fun once you go out to the games. You know, there's more excitement than you think, even if it's a 1-0 game. There's really some exciting moments, and I think Janet Rayfield is expected to have a very decent team this year. And I think Illini fans, too, you know, soccer kind of flies under the radar, but Janet Rayfield is really up there amongst the top college coaches, women's soccer coaches in America, as far as her reputation amongst the crowd. And the results might not always be there, but I mean, she's got a great reputation. She's known as a great recruiter, and she has churned out some very good players. Ella Masser, among them, Vanessa DiBernardo, and others, Emily Zurer, who's been an Olympic player. So if you have a chance to get out there, I would recommend it.
We asked you this on our Twitter poll today at WDWS1400. Which of these Illini teams has the best chance for an NCAA postseason or bowl game appearance this year? Football, men's basketball, women's basketball, or volleyball? Going to our, are you glass half full or half empty right now? The winner was, with 63% of the vote, men's basketball, followed by 28% volleyball, 7% football, and 2% said it's women's basketball. I'd go with that. I would go with that.
I would maybe put football a little higher.
And just in terms of if I'm second of those four?
Yeah, I may not put it firmly in second, but as I'm looking at the votes here, it looks like football only got 7%. You know, as opposed to volleyball, and this is no disrespect to, you know, Chris Thomas, and we'll hear from him a little bit later in the program. He's got a lot of young players, and the Big Ten is the best volleyball conference in America.
Oh, yeah. Illini were picked 9th
right
this year, and that's not because they're not that good. It's because everybody else is good, and they are good, too.
Now, you got Penn State number 1, Nebraska number 2, Minnesota number 3. Those, I think, year in and year out are kind of the three top dogs. But then you've got, you know, Wisconsin and Purdue who have been consistently good as well. So, I think the Illini volleyball team has its work cut out for it in year run, but I would be very interested to see how they do.
But all in all, I think certainly men's basketball has the best chance mm-hmm. at being in a postseason. And volleyball just missed it on the bubble. Yeah, so I put volleyball second. And it's probably... is the word easiest the right word I want to use here? The easiest, those are the two are the easier because of the number of teams. Well, anybody gets invited to a bowl. All you got to do is gonna get six wins. So, as I say,
sometimes
that,
even five wins.
Sometimes. Jim Harbaugh, being Jim Harbaugh. I did not realize this was going on. University of Michigan football team does not have a roster available to the public right now for their 2017 season.
Public or the media or anybody for that matter.
out of NJ.com, for a writer that covers Rutgers, this writer named Ryan Dunleavy apparently went through a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, to get the Michigan Wolverines to release their roster. And their initial, it says, actually, we went as far in our initial inquiry as to guard against a loophole in case you're planning to say there is no, quote, roster with heights and weights and jersey numbers. Please provide a list of the names of all football players on scholarship or financial aid, a bare bones requirement. That he never got it.
No, it's still not out there.
What is going on with Jim Harbaugh?
Jim Harbaugh is a peach.
Well, I have to choose my words carefully here because I have some opinions about Jim Harbaugh.
You're not the only one.
He is, if I didn't know any better, I think he was one of the characters in Men in Black where he's a human on the outside and an alien is running him on the inside, because that guy is just in la-la land, I think, all the time. I mean,
who doesn't put a roster out?
Well, and not only that, but just, you know, some of his motivational tactics, you know, going shirtless at practice and the way he talks to the media or the lack of things he talks to the media. It's just, it's really off-putting to me. But here's the kicker, though. He's winning. And that's all fans care about.
You know, sometimes we find it a little annoying that Illinois, you know, they stopped providing a depth chart at two deep.
Right.
In their notes. I think that was last year. Lovey didn't want to do it anymore. And so that's a little bit, you know, you're trying to just get your head around who's where and who might be playing and all that. And there's no depth chart, but no roster. Now, he's supposed to release it, I think, this week or next week, you know, obviously ahead. I think at some point he's got to be required to.
Well, I believe he put out a tweet that said open tryouts or walk-on tryouts are the 29th and 30th, and then, or the 28th and 29th, and then we'll release it on the 30th, as if it's going to be some big reveal. I mean, come on, Jim.
What are you doing? I mean, I get that that's annoying for people in the media, but how is that helpful to fans? And isn't there a requirement or something that you would have to have this information available?
If there is, he's getting around it somehow. And again, Jim Harbaugh's got that program rolling. You know, they made a huge investment in him, and it's paid dividends early. So, you know, for the boosters and the athletic staff over there, they're probably saying, hey, as long as you keep winning, we'll put up with you.
Jim Harbaugh's a peach.
Earlier today in Detroit, things got a little ugly between the Tigers and the Yankees.
Miguel Cabrera was actually super animated about, hey, you have to protect your teammates, when Michael Fulmer retaliated.
Wait a minute, here we go.
Oh, here we go at home. Robine and Cabrera get into it. Punches thrown, Robine getting into the gut of Cabrera. And now both benches are cleared as Robine and Cabrera at the bottom of a pile. And both teams storming for them at home plate. Clint Frazier is holding back Gary Sanchez trying to get in on it.
This is not your ordinary bitch, so there was some severe punching in there. Usually it's a lot of pushing and shoving, but some, they got some good shots there.
All started after the Yankees threw behind Miguel Cabrera. Four players ejected, Joe Girardi and Rob Thompson of the coaching staff from the Yankees also thrown out in the ball game. So a little bit of fireworks there, and probably unnecessarily so. It was just, it was pretty ugly.
Well, it was Cabrera who made the first contact, because him and Romine, the catcher, were jawing back and forth. The catcher took his mask off as if to say, you know, I'm really going to get in your face. And then Cabrera pushed him, and then things escalated from there. So on the one hand, you hate to see things like that because you don't want guys to get hurt. You don't want guys to get suspended, and you don't want to send the wrong message to young ball players about this is what the game is about. On the other hand, a brawl every once in a while, at least for me, kind of fun to watch.
Sports Talk, you can hop along with us if you like at 356-9397, and the Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Chris Thomas from Illinois Volleyball still to come. We also talk to Muhammad Seymour's head coach of the football program, Keith Pogue. Some other goodies coming your way.
It's the first edition of the Lovie Smith Radio Show, live at the renovated Buffalo Wild Wings in Savoy, Monday night from 7 to 8, right here on DWS. Join us.
Sports Talk on this Thursday. It's Scott and Tim until 6 o'clock. Hop in if you need, if you want. Let us know what you're thinking. Comments or questions? 356-9397. Tim, some of the news of the week is Hillary Clinton with a new book out.
Mm-hmm.
What happened, looking back at the election, it got me thinking about what would be my memoir title. I couldn't come up with one. Can you come up with one for your life thus far?
For myself.
You know, the headline, the catchy title.
There was a, you're going to hate me, a pro wrestler who's now retired. His name was Adam Copeland. His ring name was Edge. And his sort of mantra was, you think you know me. So I always thought that would make a cool autobiography title. Like, you think you know me? Read this.
Oh, I always think, I'd take that as, you don't actually know me. You think you know me, but you don't. But then
well,
if you put that as a title of an autobiography, that would be like sort of this loop of logic. Like, well, you're not going to really get to know me, even though I'm going to reveal myself.
You won't know me until you read the book.
I get it. All right. I'm trying to think that. What about like some of our Illini celebrities? What would their memoirs be? Like Josh Whitman. Let's say he writes one in 5-10 years. I did win.
Yeah, you know, something having to do with we will win or I did win, because, I mean,
we did win.
That's going to be what, you know, he's known for, at least, you know, on a off the court, off the field level. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think he struck gold with that we will win slogan. I'm just thinking, you know, Tim Beckman, Oski, lasagna.
Yeah, with some bewildered look of him on the front cover.
Lovie Smith, simple as that.
There you go. Yeah, simple. That's his favorite phrase.
John Gross, obviously, dot, dot, dot. That's how he opened every press conference.
TNT.
TNT, yeah.
John Gross, arms folded, smiling, TNT.
John Gross climbed the ladder.
It didn't really pan out.
No.
I remember we were waiting for a press availability, and this ladder's coming through. Some staffer is, you know, just dragging a ladder around. There's pieces of paper taped on it. I'm just looking to go, what is going on here? So, man, who else? Lou Henson probably has one out, right?
Lou Henson has an autobiography out. It's called Winning at Illinois, which he did plenty of it.
Yeah, that's a pretty simple title.
Bruce Weber has one, which I am now reading. I believe it's called Through My Eyes. It's kind of a behind-the-scenes look at the 04-05 season, co-written by our colleague Mark Tupper in Decatur.
Good.
So I'm just through one chapter, but so far so good. Comments from Gene Cady in there, obviously, you know, he hired Bruce Weber to give him his first coaching job. So I really enjoyed Lou Henson's book. I mean, great behind-the-scenes stuff at the Final Four. And Jim Turpin and Lauren Tate are mentioned about every other chapter. It's pretty neat.
All right, well, tomorrow morning you'll hear Illinois Volleyball open up the 2017 campaign. 11 a.m. is the first serve. Chris Thomas is the new head coach for the Illini, and we caught up with him to preview the 2017 season.
Well, Chris, you're on the brink of your first game with first match with Illinois. How are the nerves?
For me, fine. I don't have to play anymore, so it's all on them. No, I think everything is has been really good. You know, I've mentioned to a few people that I'm very excited about the changes that are being made and you know, how they're taken to what systems we want to put into place. I think there's going to be some, obviously, your first game of the year, it actually counts for something. You know, we played the Orange Blue last weekend. I thought there were some jitters that we had to get out there, which we did quite well, in fact. And I just think hopefully that translates to when we step on the court on Friday morning, actually. And so I think they're ready. They're excited. They want to go. You know, they've been talking about it. So if there's any nerves, it's, or any nervousness, it's more nervous excitement than anything.
For the average fan or maybe even the regular fans that come to Huff to see the team that saw the orange and blue scrimmage, do you think they saw changes? Would you be able to see those without having you point it out?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we brought in some new techniques. We're trying to run a little bit faster in some areas. I want to put an emphasis on running the middle when we can. And I think we did all those things at the orange-blue. And, you know, some changes takes time, and we won't see that right away. That's going to come over the course of the season as they get better, as they play against better competition. You know, once you get good in your own gym, then you have to get good against other people. So there's some times where it's going to look, I think, real good, and then there's other times where we're still kind of in that learning phase, and we need to be able to work our way out of maybe a tough spot. But that's all part of the game, and they've been doing a nice job in practice, and we're just, you know, we'll see if it translates to the game here pretty soon.
The experience of this team, and I assume the leadership, comes from Ali Bastianelli, Jordan Poulter, Brandy Donnelly. Is the middle of the court then the strongest part of your team right now?
I think, you know, we have a good role with all three of those players. And, you know, I try to really emphasize team volleyball just in general. And that's definitely a strong point. But, you know, I try to get them to understand that it's not about them. It's not about their stat that they might see. It's about the whole collective team and what we're doing, how we're communicating, you know, to win the point as a team. I think sometimes when we get into sports, we look a lot at the stat and be like, oh, you had a really good hitting night, or, oh, you had a really good, you know, you're a really good setter or something like that. But if we can't win, it doesn't really matter what your stat is or what it looks like. It just matters how we do this as a team. So that's been the focus, and I think we're going to keep it that way throughout the season. I know we're going to keep it that way throughout the season.
We're visiting with Chris Thomas, head coach of Illinois Volleyball. They open up the season on Friday morning against Gonzaga, 11 a.m. You'll hear it here on DWS. Chris, the freshmen are a big storyline. Before we get to them, Jackie Quaid, who was a key contributor as a freshman last year, what's been her progress this year? Is part of my question is the team looking for a Terminator kind of player, a player that can really take over as an outside hitter?
Yeah, you always need one of those, and we're looking to Jack to do that for us. And she's been doing a nice job. I think her big role expansion is going to be going from 3 rotations to 6 rotations. So she's going to be in the whole match. And so it's really tough to do that for 2 hours. And for people who played volleyball will know what I'm talking about. So I think, as you know, over the summer, our weight coach Emily Esselman did a great job with them in terms of just getting them in shape and getting ready to go for a long haul here. And now it's, you know, Jack's turn to kind of unleash, and that, you know, she's been doing a nice job. She did a nice job being the orange blue, being our Terminator, and I expect that to go as the season goes on as well.
Well, with 9 new freshmen, you're going to play some freshmen are going to get several minutes, if you will, on the court. Who has stood out here so far as you go into the season?
Morgan O'Brien's been great in the back row for us. She's, I think, solidified a passing spot, and she's very comfortable in that position. You need good passers to be good at this game. And defensively, she's catching up to the speed of the game a little bit, but every day she's getting better. Kylie DeBerg is also doing a very nice job. She's probably anchored down her second outside position right now, and you know, she's does really nice things, and she's coming up to the speed of the game as well. But again, every day she's making some nice improvements, so I think you can look for those two to be freshman contributors early on. And you know, as if we get opportunities to sprinkle some more in during tournament play here this weekend or next weekend, we're gonna for sure do that, just so they get the feel of what it's like to play in a NCAA match.
As you go into this weekend, obviously you want to win. Is that the most important thing to come out of your opening weekend, is just get those wins, or are you looking for other things to mark your success?
Yes and no. I think some things, obviously, you always want to win. That's what you're aiming for. That's more the product than the goal, so to speak. And I know you've probably heard a bunch of coaches say that before, but it really is true. And you know, we used to always say a win is a win is a win. It doesn't matter how it looks, but sometimes it does, and sometimes it matters how you're fighting, and sometimes it matters where you're winning your points and where you're losing your points. You know, we've been harping for weeks on a few certain things, and if that doesn't happen, I might be a little less happy. But if we produce the win, I'm not going to be like, oh, we won, but it really didn't look that great. Well, you celebrate the win. Hey, this is what we need to make sure we keep focusing on, move on from there. So, of course, I'm always looking for stuff that we can get better at. Volleyball's by far an imperfect game, so we need to just make sure we can take the victories when we can and move forward from there and learn whenever we can.
As far as the competition for this weekend, Gonzaga, Montana State, Air Force, what kind of programs are they, and do you pay much attention to them to get ready, get your team ready for them, or is it more about installing your system this weekend?
I think early on you just try and install your system, and you make reactions based on what you see. You know, the other teams that we're playing, you know, Air Force and Montana State return a lot of people, but that doesn't mean we have film on them from last year. It just means they'll probably be 1 year better as a collective unit, so we have to expect them to be good teams. Gonzaga's a little bit like us. They reload, and you have no idea what they're bringing in, really, unless if we saw them on the recruiting trail and knew them from a previous job. And so I think, especially for that first match, it's just about executing on our side and just making sure we make the proper adjustments and don't get caught up too much in the moment and just kind of play for each other and make sure we're just focused in on what we need to do point by point.
You said you feel pretty calm going into all this, but how do you think you'll sleep Thursday night before your first match?
Oh, fine. I am pretty calm by nature. I think, you know, if we didn't do our job preparing them in the gym these last couple of weeks, then, you know, that's just where the work gets done. And, you know, nerves for me, I've been around the game a ton. And, you know, of course, again, I've got the excited nerves just as much as anyone. And, you know, did I train them correctly? Did I do the right things? Am I talking to the right people about the right things? I think those are more the conversations that go through your coach's head than worrying just about the outcome of the match. And so I think I'll be excited myself, but I'm pretty sure I'll get some sleep as well too, because I'm confident in how hard they've been working, and I'm looking forward to watching them on the court.
Chris Thomas, head coach of Illinois Volleyball, thanks for your time. Good luck.
Thank you very much, Scott. Appreciate it.
We switch to high school football after this. Keith Pogue from Mahomet Seymour. 542 Sports Talk. Tomorrow night, high school football season kicks off. Mahomet Seymour is up next in our tour of area schools. It's Keith Pogue, their head coach.
Keith, kick off to another season. Season number 10 for you is coming up quickly. How do you feel going into this one?
Well, I feel pretty good about our team. We're really young and inexperienced, especially on the offensive side of the ball, but we're pretty talented, and kids have really had a great summer and a great few weeks of practice, and I think there's a general level of excitement with the team, so we're ready to get rolling.
You've only had one season since you've been the coach where you didn't have a winning record. What do you attribute your success to?
Well, I think it really comes down to our kids and our community. We have a place that people want to be, and kids that work really hard, and a solid community and parents. And I've been blessed to have great support from administration and others. And so I came into a really good situation. You know, I came into a situation where we very rarely change coaches. We have a lot of stability. You know, I'm only third coach in well over 50 years. So that helps a lot. And, you know, coming after Tom Schellenberger certainly didn't hurt at all.
You know, we have that conversation about college programs too. It seems to be the longer a coach is around, the more continuity and the better a program performs. Maybe not necessarily year to year, but you zoom out and there's a lot of success when a coach is in one place for a long time. Do you have to work at building a pipeline into your program? Do you have to work at developing middle schoolers into football, or is it mainly happen once they get into high school?
Well, it's kind of a combination. A few years ago, we got heavily involved with our youth program and set up a separate youth program that does compete in the Central Illinois Youth Football League. But those coaches come to a clinic that we give in the spring, and we talk to them in the summer, and they come to our camps and bring their kids to our camps. And so we try to be a resource for them. We don't want to take over their program. We don't want to tell them what to do, but we want to be a resource for them. I think that's paid off, and they've been really great at helping us. And it's nice to get kids who understand our terminology a little bit and know our expectations and what we're trying to do technique-wise by the time they get to high school. And I think we're definitely heading in the right direction with that, with our youth football.
We're talking with Keith Pogue. He's the head football coach at Mahomet Seymour High School. Keith, who are some of the standouts for you this year?
Well, we got two of the kids returning in offense. One is Josh Johnson. He's a senior wide receiver, defensive back. He was all-conference both ways in the Corn Belt last year, and he had a lot of catches and did a lot of special things on defense. We're going to lean heavily on him. And then up front in the trenches, we got Ben Stahl, and Ben Stahl was also a two-way starter for us last year on defensive and offensive line. and he will be again this year. And both those guys are a couple of our captains, and they're going to do great things. And then we got a lot of juniors stepping up to really important positions, and they've looked really good. Dawson Finch is going to be our quarterback, and he can sling it. He's got a great arm, and he's developing vision and patience a little bit. That's just going to come with experience, but he has the raw materials, that's for sure. And then we have a couple of running backs, and Dylan Gates and Jordan Veldman, and they're going to have a fullback that's a real bruiser in Lucas Morgan. So we feel really good about where we're starting from, and we're just going to improve this year as we go along and get experience.
Every school coach has to deal with the loss of upperclassmen, seniors to graduation, and that question of who's going to step up and fill in. Do you ever come to peace with that process, or is there always apprehension, or I don't want to call it anxiety, but maybe some nervousness wondering, hey, will this role get filled by the next guy?
Well, you're absolutely right. For us, it's kind of a system analysis process for us in off season where, you know, some coaches, and I wish I was one of these coaches a lot of times, has a system, and that's what they run, that's what they believe in, that's what they know. And we have a framework, but we have different emphasis in that framework. So last year we were in the eye, and we grinded, and we had a great fullback and a good offensive line, and we didn't throw very much. But that was because of our personnel. And this year we're getting back into what we've been doing the last few years, which is a little more wide open with more receivers and other things. So for us, we're going to miss those guys, but it means that we try to adapt to our players and the talents that they bring to the table. And that's kind of fun, actually. That strategy part of it really appeals to me, and I enjoy it.
You are experiencing, Muhammad, what several other schools are, too, a new conference. You're in the new Apollo Conference. How do you feel about that going into this? Are you welcoming this change, no longer part of the Corn Belt?
Well, it came about because we were concerned that we were growing and the rest of the Corn Belt was shrinking. And we were having trouble getting lower-level games. And we saw writing on the wall in terms of we did not want to be left out in the cold. In other words, where we were twice the size of other schools, and they said, it's time for you to get out. And so we were proactive in this process, and Apollo was generous enough to give us an offer. And those schools are more along our size and a lot more 4A, 5A, instead of 3A, 4A. And so when UI and we made the decision to get out of the conference, I think it was probably good for everybody. And I'm not looking forward to some parts of it. Obviously, some of our trips are a little longer, but overall, I think it was a good move for us at the right time.
Well, Keith, we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. Wish you best of luck in the 2017 season.
We sure appreciate it. Thank you very much for having us on.
That's Keith Pogue there, head coach for Muhammad Seymour football. They open tomorrow night at Washington, and as you guys talked about, Scott, in that interview, new conference for them moving to the Apollo. And so inherently in that, there's a lack of familiarity with the opponents. And as I look at the schedule here, you know, Washington, Charleston, Muscoota, Taylorville, Mattoon, Effingham, Mount Zion, Lincoln, and Macomb, I really don't know a whole lot about those. I mean, I know Taylorville is usually pretty good and Washington's pretty good, but I don't envy Coach Pogue in having to do the scouting. So I think they're looking to go for the playoffs for the ninth time in the last 10 seasons. So certainly wish them luck.
Well, there's the second basically new conference. Of course, the Illini Prairie that took the old OCAW that includes St. Thomas More, Rantoul, Tolono,
Monticello.
SJO, yep, Monticello, brings in new schools to create this new conference in the Apollo. So it's conference realignment has been a big storyline for the IHSA this year, at least here in these parts.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow we'll make our final stop ahead of Preps kickoff tomorrow night. We will visit with Lakeevy Johnson from Centennial High School. 75-549 Sports Talk. More coming up.
The Cardinals get devastating news, but will it cost them their season? I'm Jason Gotch, and the Gotch Files are next. I'm Jason Gotch with the Gotch Files. The Cardinals suffered a huge blow when it was learned that closer Trevor Rosenthal was out for a year because he needs Tommy John surgery on his injured elbow. After losing the closer job earlier in his career, Rosenthal had regained it and was pitching well. His ERA in July was 1.46, and he already had 5 saves in August. So is this an injury the Cardinals can overcome? I seriously doubt it. I think this eliminates the Cardinals' chance of overtaking the Cubs and winning the NL Central, and it also dooms them for a wild card spot. The Cardinals were a 500 team before the injury with serious flaws, including a very shaky bullpen. And without Rosenthal, the bullpen becomes a very big weak spot. There's no real good closer option among the bullpen group that includes Son Juan Oh, Matt Bowman, Zach Duke, and Tyler Lyons, and Oh had already lost the closer job this year. Plus, it's unlikely the Cardinals get an impact reliever before the August 31st trade deadline. The Redbirds have been treading water all season. The starting rotation's generally been good, but the hitting suspect and the bullpen has been a trouble spot. Never say never, but the optimism created by the Cards' 8-game winning streak earlier this month has faded. I think the Rosenthal injury ends their playoff hopes. With another installment of the Gotch Files, I'm Jason Gotch.
Sports Talk. Scott and Tim here. If you did not catch it at our website, a new podcast we've been telling you about. Lauren Tate has Tate Lines Unedited, and this week he got a chance to talk with Dylan Meyer, one of the best golfers on the U of I team. Definitely will be having a professional career ahead of him. Wanted to give you a little portion of that because they talked not just about golf, but actually Dylan Meyer's aspirations to be in politics later in life.
But I know that you're interested in politics, and I'd like to know in what way can you mix golf, which takes up 100% of your time, and anything else?
The thing with golf and everything that's gone on the last couple of years is kind of put my name and my face out into the public, so that kind of helps for later on down the road.
Might get a few votes.
Yeah, maybe.
From golfers, at least.
That's right. But definitely down the road after my golf career is over, that's kind of something I'm looking into is running for public office. And hopefully
well, now, wait
helps.
A minute. When your golf career is open, how old is Stricker?
Well, yeah, I know. Hey, he's still got
I mean,
a lot of time.
He's playing on the senior tour now.
That he is. But
that's
you know,
a great thing about golf.
It is. That is. But, you know, whenever you get to a certain age and you realize that you're really not going to be competing on that senior tour level, you got to be able to think of something you want to do. And, you know, a lot of those guys go into commentary. I feel like the thing I want to do in my calling outside of golf is with politics and running for public office.
What have you done at college that has prepared you for what might be a political career?
It's just dealing with the adversity day in and day out. We run into small little bumps in the road with either whether it's workouts or something or whether it's going to be where we're playing at or on the golf course.
What about classes?
Well, I was getting ready to get to that. You know, studying, figuring out the time to study outside of practice, understanding course material, getting into the exam, feeling prepared, I mean, with the little time that we get. So, it's just being able to deal with this kind of adversity. And, you know, in some of the classes that I take, I mean, there's some different viewpoints within the classrooms.
Okay, what are some of the classes?
This semester I'm going to be taking public opinion.
Okay.
And last semester I took a class, it was foreign policy in the Middle East, which is very a touchy subject right at the moment. So,
Now, all the professors are Democrats, right?
Yes, they are.
What is Dylan Meyer?
I'm a Republican,
and
I'm sure they do not like half my opinions.
They're not going to allow you to speak.
Yeah, I know. And every time I raise my hand, they kind of like glance over to see if anybody else wants to talk. But,
so you're really serious about this.
Yeah, I am.
Little tease there for you. It's at our website, wdws.com. Lauren talking with Dylan Meyer, Tate Lines Unedited.
We might be hearing the phrase Dylan Meyer and Green Jacket in the same sentence one day.
There's a lot of Illini golfers that
10 years down the road.
Yeah. Hey, the Rally Cat may have captured the hearts of Cardinals fans, but the Cardinals may not get it. The attorney says the cat has been retained to help the St. Louis Feral Cat Outreach fight for the feline's best interests, and at this point, the nonprofit organization is not convinced that his future lies with the Cardinals organization. This is all according to an article at the Riverfront Times.
I wouldn't be upset if the Cardinals got it with the caveat of, you know, it needs to go to like a club employee's home who is going to be a loving parent to the cat. It's not going to be a Drake LaRose situation where it lives in the clubhouse. We don't want that for the little kitty.
Hey, by the way, you had a nice conversation also, speaking of podcasts, with Dave Lone entering year number 30
of
volleyball.
Yeah, he's going to be calling volleyball, Illini volleyball, tomorrow, starting his 30th year behind the mic. 1988 was his first year, and it just so happened Illinois went to the Final Four that year. He got to call a Final Four in 2011 as well. He's worked with four coaches and has got a lot of great memories along the way, including some of his catchphrases. So that's up at our website.
Trey Mendes is for basketball.
Right.
Spank you very much.
Right. Uses the block like a kitchen appliance.
Yes.
Things of that sort.
Thanks to everybody who was a part of the program today. Chris Thomas, head coach of Illinois Volleyball. You'll hear his squad tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock. Good luck to them as they open up the 2017 campaign. Keith Pogue from Mahomet Seymour High School football team as well. We just heard a little bit with Dylan Meyer. Thanks to everybody who has been a part of the program. Tamara McDaniel behind the scenes tonight. Tim, thanks for filling in. Appreciate it as always.
Always a pleasure.
And thanks to you most of all for listening. Back at it tomorrow at 5 o'clock. This is News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station. Time at the tone, 6 o'clock. World News Roundup is next. Have a great night.